In the name of Jesus, amen. When you pray, when you fast, when you give alms, you shall not be like the hypocrites. But oh, if that were only possible. For as the flower bed thinly veils the underground cesspool, so the righteous works of men are but feeble coverings for darker motives and inward vanities. The surface area has always been an easy fix with the help of enough plastic surgery and liposuction, but the heart, not so much. For we're all egocentrics at heart, and who can carve out that reality? Who doesn't long to be honored and extolled? Who doesn't relish in the praise of others? And if we love the glory we receive with regard to earthly successes, how much more do we enjoy being esteemed with regard to spiritual things? We long for someone else to read off the litany of our spiritual accomplishments, our best sermons, our most successful mission trips, our climbing worship attendance, even our disciplined prayer lives, are hung up in our hearts like trophies in the hopes that others would come in and take a look. Who doesn't mount the pulpit considering his own reputation at the same time? Who doesn't wait to hear his coin clink in the Salvation Army's red bucket that his chest may swell with pride? Who of us, deep into a fast, considers God's word more than who is watching? And so our Lord sighs. They honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. Our Lord knows how good we are at window dressing the corpse and whitewashing the tomb. He has seen how we're all masters at the art of self-justification. And that is why everyone hates Ash Wednesday. Because on Ash Wednesday, God sits us squarely in our own coffins. He bids us to drink deep from the cup of what is real and to stop pretending. The dead remains of last year's palms have just left their mark on you to mark you as one dead. At this, the old man may flail about with all his masking, denying, and ignoring, but the word of the Lord pins him down so that he cannot escape. And to Adam the Lord said, because you have listened to the voice of your wife and have eaten of the tree of which I commanded you, you shall not eat of it. Cursed is the ground because of you. By the sweat of your face you shall eat bread till you return to the ground. For out of it you were taken, for you are dust, and to dust you shall return. Thus the curses of God fell upon man, woman, and serpent. But within the devil's curse came also the seed of promise for man. The offspring of this woman shall destroy you, was God's verdict. A curse for Satan, to be sure, yet nothing but the pure preaching of Christ crucified for you. And when the promise became incarnate, the world finally had a man who thought nothing of the praise of men, nothing of his own necessity, but only of his neighbor's true need. And the glory he sought was not his own, but the glory of the one who sent him, that God may be glorified in him. And so when other men despised and hated him, when they rebuked him, when they spat on him, when they strung him up on a cross to bleed and die, he turned not his face away, but bore it all patiently, perfectly. In him was no duplicitous nature, no divided heart, but only a perfect will manifested in righteous action. When his duty meant that he would abandon all, that all would abandon him, including his father, there was no shadow of turning with him, only the constancy of heart, which is the fruit of love, love that is not self-love, but love that is divine, love that loves only the other. Behold the man, Jesus Christ, mighty Lord. Behold the man who stands alone as no whitewashed tomb, but the blood-washed conqueror of all tombs forever. In him all ashes find their end. For when the Son of Man is lifted up from the earth and glorified, he will draw all men to himself, so that everyone who lives and believes in him shall never die. Behold the man, Jesus Christ, whose death undoes the curse of Adam for all people through all ages. And so the ashes you receive this day are placed upon your brow as a reminder of sin's curse, all to be sure. But those ashes are not smeared across your brow in pell-mell fashion. Rather, they are smeared in the likeness of his crucifixion so that they mark you not just as one who is about to die, but as one who by his death shall live, as one who marked with his blood shall be passed over by the angel of death and spared. Receive the sign of the Holy Cross both upon your forehead and upon your heart to mark you as one redeemed by Christ the crucified. Today he marks you his own. You are his. And that is what our whole gospel reading for today is predicated upon. You are his. The text presupposes that you have a father. Pray to your father, Jesus says. And our Lord goes on and on calling God your father. There is surely no uncertainty or doubting in Christ's mind that God is your father. So then neither should there be any doubt or uncertainty in your mind, for your Lord says it is so, and because you are baptized. Surely in baptism you were sundered from the unbelieving world, given a place in God's own kingdom, made God's own holy child, blessed with the full rights of an heir, and promised the inheritance of the saints. So you have a father. The text presupposes also that you have a righteousness. Surely this righteousness is not your own, but the righteousness Christ gives to you, the righteousness which is the very mercy Jesus gives to us sinners by dying for us. So you are righteous, not by what you do, but by what Jesus gives. It is his gift to you today, coming from his cross to be found now on paten and chalice, the body of Christ, the blood of Christ, given and shed for you. Because you have that, Jesus can speak of your righteousness and call you one who is righteous. And so in the knowledge that we have a Father in heaven who cares for us, and a faithful Lord who gives us his own righteousness, let us go into Ash Wednesday. Let us go into Lent. We have no more need to hang on to the old hypocrisy, the old lies about ourselves, the lies which flaunt a false, two-faced piety and hide a self-interested heart. Now we can speak the truth. Now we can call sin, sin, and ask the Lord for forgiveness. For we know that if we confess our sins, God is faithful and just. He will hear us and forgive. And the Lord makes repentance the end of all hypocrisy. You have been given the Spirit of Christ in your baptism. Therefore, you will pray. You will fast. You will do good works of charity toward your neighbor. This is not a suggestion. Just as all love and good works for Christians are not suggestions, but realities. The text presupposes your fasting, praying, and almsgiving because of who you are and what God has given you. As Christians, those works take on a different character, for we know that by them we are not trying to please or impress God. They do not justify, and therefore our works are joyful and free, coming from a cheerful heart. We know that when self-interest accompanies them, as it always does, God will have mercy. God is patient and kind with us, generous and full of fatherly goodness toward us. He does not quit on us, but loves us all the way to the end. May we be so minded as we enter this 40-day season of repentance and of solemn meditation on the suffering and death of our Savior, Jesus Christ. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.